Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, coming to live from the Bill Ford Tubb studio, it is the Boomer and Geo program, Monday, December 23rd, as we are that close to Christmas. Of course, since we are that close to Christmas, these two guys wouldn't be anywhere near the studio, so they are off until January 2nd, and good for them. So instead, you got myself, Chris Lopresti, we've got Zoo, we've got Fliegelman, Pat Boyle in for myself, and we've got a lot to get to. 888-808-1019 is the phone number. I promise you, we will do a lot on the football, most notably in a couple of minutes, as a matter of fact, with the Jets, the Giants, all of that. But a little breaking news overnight with Sean Manaea back to the Mets. Good morning, Chris Lopresti. How are you?
I'm good, man. And you just introduced the three of us there at the end of the warm-up show to a word we didn't know existed. So good job out of you. A little education right out of the gate here on a Monday morning.
We'll get to that at some point, later on for sure. But we also woke up to, and we'll get to the Giants coming up in just a minute, because I do think the two football teams are still the top stories. But when you get breaking news at 2 o'clock in the morning and you wake up to it, like I didn't go to sleep till midnight because I had to work the Cowboy game last night, maybe even 12:30. And then you wake up at 3:30. There's breaking news in between that. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I woke up to your text. I slept here last night. Shocker. So you and I were up late working. So when I woke up and saw, I guess maybe we'll talk Mets and Yankees now. I was like, oh no, what happened? Because I was up till, I think it was close to 1 a.m. So
you're well rested.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I can't complain. I've done worse. You and I have both done worse. But it's funny because I was at SNY last night and we were talking. One of the things was, well, as currently constructed, where do the Mets stack up in the NL East? So we were talking about the, well, if they could ever, you know, figure out adding another piece or two to this rotation or the bullpen, rest of the offseason to go, it'll be a much different feel. And sure enough, just a couple of hours later, you get Manaea locked in here. So, and the guy said it at the end of the warm-up show there, and I agree. I was a little surprised that they were able to get it done and get him back for the 3 years. It sounded like it was going to take more than that. And when you look at some of the contracts that have been handed out already, pitching-wise in free agency, I mean, look, it's $25 million a year. So I'm not trying to say it's a steal and a bargain from that standpoint, but the term specifically for a guy who, yes, had a very good 2024 season, but prior to that, the last couple of seasons, there wasn't a lot to grab hold of there. But seems like, you know, here in New York, changing the arm slot, Jeremy Hefner, Mets organization, his leadership inside the clubhouse, it was a really nice fit. So excellent for them to be able to bring him back, but not have to commit too far down the road.
An earlier track record, too. The earlier years with the A's, he was a better pitcher for sure.
I'm talking, 2022, 23, Padres and Giants, where in 23, if we go back to this time last year or whatever date it was when the Mets brought him in, and you're looking up his numbers and you're like, this guy couldn't even hang in the Giants rotation. He got banished to the bullpen. And now he had an excellent year.
But similar to me to the Severino deal in that, you saw it. Like, you know, he had done it before in his career, so you kind of hoped he'd be able to find it. And for all those reasons you mentioned, they bring him in at work. Now you get the deal 3 years. I do think it's interesting how some guys, JS, can get, you know, $4 billion, and other guys are basically hanging around trying to get, they want five or six, they end up with three. Pete Alonso's still unsigned. He, to me, is the next domino to fall, and I do think it'll be back with the Mets, but then again, until he's signed, who the hell knows?
Yeah, and it seems like that market has played into their hands as well, because I go back to the night Soto signed, and look, not that, you know, the Mets don't have a ton of money to spend and at their disposal at any point with Steve Cohen, but I was like, all right, you know, they go all in on Soto here. You know, this is Alonso's chance to cash in free agency. And at the time, it felt like, hey, there's going to be some opportunities for him to make some money. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know that there's an avenue now for him to come back. Yet here we are just a few weeks later, and you look at some of the other first base dominoes that have fallen and moved around, and you start to look at the list of teams that he could potentially go to, and it's dwindling. So from that standpoint, the Mets' patience could be rewarded, where they're bringing him back at a significantly smaller price than we once would have thought, or even going back to the contract he turned down, you know, whatever it was, a year and a half, 2 years ago now.
And the Yankees, of course, with Paul Goldschmidt on, I guess it was Friday or Saturday, whatever, so they get that done. We will do more on baseball as the week goes on, obviously, but it is a football Monday, and so with that, I sat there, I said to you outside, I think it's basically a flip of the coin. Where do you want to start this hour? We'll save the other team for next hour. Is it Jets-Giants? And I do agree with you. With the mess that we saw in Atlanta yesterday, and here's where I'm at with the Giants, and we can clearly get into the conversation about the coach and the GM. Here's where I'm at watching that game yesterday as best I could. They have no quarterback, number one.
Yeah.
They are banged up beyond banged up. And this would be my one question to everybody that wants to, and I think it would be warranted, if John Mara fires Shane and Dable, one or the other, I would understand. But here's the one thing I would say. You want the number one pick at this point. The season's been long over. What do you want them to do? Now, You want to say you want to make it look better than 34-7? Fine. Until Drew Lock throws that pick six, they were playing well, they were playing hard, and then everything just unraveled from that point forward. But if they win that game, you're pissed off that they won that game because the number one pick might go out the window. You could pick eighth. They lose the game, get these guys out of here. They're terrible. I don't know. This is such a terrible spot to be in because I'm listening to certain experts yesterday saying he's coaching for his job, got to go out and win the game. Then I got other people sitting, I'm listening to them say, if he wins this game, don't let him on the plane and fire him today. What do you want him to do?
It's gotten ridiculous. And I understand it to an extent, but yeah, it's a position that just putting yourself in Brian Dable's shoes right now. It's misery because basically
it's no win.
The margin for error is so thin in that you are expected to lose, but to lose the closest game possible and to basically, hey, we did everything right. We checked all the boxes. We played well. It's just the ball didn't bounce our way, essentially. That's pretty much where we're at. Look, there's nothing there. Quarterback, outside of Malik Nabers, there's very little offensively to grab hold of right now as far as, you know, guys that you feel like can be a difference maker. Tyrone Tracy, I guess, is one. I mean, he looked better as a receiver
than
a runner yesterday.
Yeah.
Sure.
No, he's had his moments this year where he's run the ball well.
Right.
When the team was whole.
Yeah.
I mean, when the team was whole, not that they were winning, don't get me wrong, but they were more competitive. And I do not believe in any way, shape, or form that the run game was an issue earlier in the season. They were getting, you know, here's the biggest issue with the run game, and I'll take you back to Washington. Devin Singletary fumbling the football.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, more so than anything, they were getting a push up front. They were running the ball well, and while no one was Saquon Barkley in Philadelphia, which is another story for another time because of the way that team is put together, their run game was fine early on. So that's not even it. It's just this thing has collapsed beyond anything I ever thought it would collapse to the point that it's reached, and it's just a mess.
Let me ask it to you this way, just specifically about Dable, because I feel like in season, that's the easier part to evaluate and analyze because we're seeing week to week game plans, play calling, team's response to him,
sure,
all that, whereas, you know, Shane's a little bit more insulated as the season's playing out. So all those things you just said, I don't disagree. I mean, I don't think anyone that's watching the Giants would disagree. But from Dable's standpoint, is it not concerning, though, when he came here from Buffalo, we talked about, well, his ability to turn Josh Allen into what he was and his offensive mind, the play calling and all that. Like, wouldn't you have expected, even with a roster that has its holes, obviously, and the fact that the quarterback situation is a mess, wouldn't you have expected something a little bit better, a little bit more development of certain players, skill position, offensive line? Like, we just talked about, outside of Nabers and a little Tyrone Tracy, I mean, give me the next guy that you're like, you know what, this is a nice piece for them on offense that they can build with.
You're not wrong. And we can talk about, it's funny you bring that up because I want to read something to you in a second and I want you to tell me who I'm talking about. I agree, but I do think the quarterback play, you know, it's funny. I sit there and say, you can't pay these quarterbacks $50 and $60 million a year after year four because it tears down the rest of the roster unless you are Josh Allen, unless you are Patrick Mahomes. Average quarterbacks getting top dollar to me is stupid.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me. And I'll take it back to Daniel Jones. If the Giants would have offered Daniel Jones $26 million a year, not 40, is he really saying, like, who's signing him for more than that? I don't think anybody would have. And it comes down to the quarterback. You want to talk about development? Maybe they didn't develop Daniel Jones. Okay, maybe. Here's what I know. Year one, when Jones was healthy and he ran the ball, they won games.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've said this before, I'll say it again. I had the privilege to work with Brian Baldinger this year in Tampa, and I believe he talked about this with BT and Sal because he comes on with them every week. There were plays that were there to be made throughout the course of the season, and as Baldinger would say, he just doesn't either see it or doesn't pull the trigger. You can't. You can develop whatever you want. You can't get into a guy's head. And if he's not going to have the confidence to do that, he's not going to have the confidence to do it. Then there were, on one of his Baldy breakdowns, he was showing, like, guys running free,
yeah,
which tells me the game plan is right. The execution is just off because the guy with the ball isn't doing what he's supposed to do. Now, you talk about Shane. I want to read you something. And just let me finish before you tell me who I'm talking
you
about.
You tell me when you're finished, and then I will...
Okay, here we go. Guess. I'm going to give you a pre-draft score and breakdown, okay? This is pre-draft, not post-draft, pre-draft. Production score out of 100, 90. Athleticism score out of 100, 94. And by the way, 91 to 100 is considered elite on this board. Total score of the player before being drafted, 96. Pretty damn good. Analysis, projection, round one. I'm not going to give you the comparison yet because then you will know who I'm talking about if you haven't figured it out already. I'm going to give you the Bleacher Report. Pre-draft grade out of 10, 9.0. Overall rank for the draft, 2. 2. Position rank, 1. Comparison, I won't give you that. Point is, sure thing, first round pick, top 10. Who am I talking about?
It's one of two guys. And based on what you just gave me, I'm going to say Kayvon Thibodeau.
It's Evan Neal.
Okay, that was the other guy.
And I bring up Evan Neal because while I'm not trying to praise him by any stretch, it's been a rough go.
Yeah.
The things that I saw on social media about Evan Neal, I genuinely felt bad for the kid,
yeah,
because he's not good.
No.
And it hasn't worked at this level. And I saw posts from people that I respect in the media that I don't think are trying to be mean, just saying things like, is he even trying?
Yeah.
Videos of him. What the hell is he doing here? What happened?
Yesterday on the second pick six is the one that was everywhere yesterday, where he basically takes a dive at the defensive end's feet and whiffs. Now, and then he gets up and holds his arms up in the air as if Drew Lock didn't do what he was supposed to do, or there was some sort of disconnect, or I don't know exactly. But, I mean, that right there, if you want to, I mean, forget we talk about the quarterback, we talk about that. They had two top 10 picks in that first draft. Okay. And I'm of the belief that when you bring in a GM and a head coach together, that they're supposed to be, you know,
in lockstep.
Yeah, exactly. Especially since they came from the same organization. And those two players, one worse than the other, have offered you essentially nothing.
Not much.
Now, is that all on the players? Like, at what point do we hold GM?
Here's what I'm tired of doing. I am tired of blaming the coaches and the GMs for these overpaid athletes. At some point, we've got to start blaming the players. And I also hate the art. Well, you can't fire all the players. Why not? How about this? Start sending them off to crappy organizations.
You can in the NFL. Cut the,
right. It's just, it's too easy. You know, I'm reading you projections from NFL.com, from Bleacher Report,
yeah,
from respected draft gurus. And I know they're not going to get them all right. But how do you get it so wrong? And it's not like the offensive line has been a problem predating Shane and Dable, so it's not just them. But at some point, can we not blame these guys for not putting in enough work, for not doing enough film study, for not earning their paycheck?
We do blame the players.
Not enough.
All the points you just made about all the pundits and people that do this for a living and analyze hours and hours of college tape and go to pro days and scout these practices and everything and the games and the competition. Not one, but two guys that were supposed to essentially be can't-miss players.
And missed.
Bad misses.
Now, I give Thibodeau a chance still.
Yeah,
I don't give
fine.
Evan Neal
he's
a chance.
He's not as bad as... I mean, Evan Neal was almost unplayable at this point. But Kayvon Thibodeau...
Thibodeau's okay. The problem is he's supposed to be spectacular.
Right, yes, yes. I mean, based on the investment they made in those two guys and the, you know, the slot in the... Again, having two first-rounders in 1 year is rare. Having two top 10 picks right out of the gate... And for them to both be misses,
yeah,
that's very difficult to overcome.
Quarterback aside. And the other thing, too, with Dable, and this is where I don't know. If I was the owner, I don't know what I would do from this standpoint. He looks to me, so year one was fabulous, but then your argument could be, okay, well, the previous 18 coaches, year one was good, and then it feels different. Sometimes there's a gut feel to it, and it sounds ridiculous because I'm not in that building, I'm not around the team, but we know people that are. And from what I'm told is that he has got control of that team. He knows what he's doing, and he is locked in as anybody. It's just gone awry. The quarterback position is so stinking important. Are we really and I don't know what his, honestly, what his impact with Josh Allen was. And we weren't in Buffalo. Yeah. Who the hell knows? Josh Allen's a freak athlete. Maybe if you were the quarterback's coach or the offensive coordinator, you could have gotten a lot out of Josh Allen, too. Uh-huh. We don't know that. But what I do know is, are we really going to walk away from this without them drafting and trying to play their guy and start over again with a coach that we don't? And Belichick's gone. So he's not, the whole idea of Bill Belichick's career full circle coming to the, that's not
which
happening.
Never made sense to me, by the way, anyway. With
so
the
do you
want to
try, fair enough. So do you want to try and blow this thing up, start over, and then bring in an unproven coach? It's not an easy question to answer.
No, and I, for most of this year, did not believe that they were going to make a change. Beyond the fact that John Mara said
week.
It publicly, yeah. And the longer we go, and the worse and worse it gets, and thankfully there were no planes flying overhead. Well, there couldn't be because they were in Atlanta. So we'll see what happens in their final home game. But the longer this goes, and you start to see the graphics, and they showed it on Fox yesterday and then came out of it with the picture of John Mara there in the suite looking disgusted. I mean, the dates, the years on some of the ineptitude.
It's awful.
And when you consider, you know, the fact that this has been handed down through his family and the history, the tradition, I mean,
10 straight losses.
At some
Chris.
Point, right, franchise record.
In their 100th season.
Haven't had the first overall pick since 1965.
I know.
Like, I mean, it's the list is growing. And I agree about what you just said, assessment on Dable, people that are around the team. Like, when I look at him, I don't think incompetence.
I don't either.
And unfortunately, we have thought that about some other guys that have been.
Right. And that's right. That's
for
what
both
I mean.
Teams, Jets and Giants.
That's what I mean,
town.
Gut feeling and what you're seeing.
I
and
agree.
From the things you hear.
I agree. I just wonder if there comes a point where John Mara takes a step back, assesses the entire situation, and we know that he does take into account what the fans think, what people think or say on this radio station, people that cover the team. And I wonder if he just looks at it and says, you know what? We cannot salvage or save this situation.
I guess. I'll ask you this question.
And I don't necessarily know that's going to be right or wrong, because I agree. Yeah.
It won't be until you see the results.
It would be. It would make sense for them to get a shot to pick their quarterback, and assuming that they do end up with the number one overall selection, they're going to have that opportunity. Whether this is a great year for quarterbacks or not, that's a story for another day. But they've obviously started to put the work in. We've seen all the stuff about Shane and the Giants crew being, you know, in Colorado, watching Shedeur Sanders from that state. But then I guess if they do run it back with the same two guys and they get the quarterback, and if it doesn't turn quickly, then you get caught in no man's land again.
I do think, though, with the different, if in fact, I find it hard to believe they're going to win one of these two games.
Yeah.
And the Raiders went out and tried to win, and they won yesterday. And so the Giants are in the driver's seat with that. I do think if you are telling me that Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward is the starting quarterback next year, I think regardless of who the coaching staff is, I think there's a renewed energy and life to this team because the face of the franchise is completely changed.
Yes, but then that's at the start.
For sure. Oh, of course. That's what I said. The results are what matters.
Yeah, and then if you're in a situation next year like the Bears were in this year with Caleb Williams and a, you know, lame duck coach, you can see where that can start to unravel and slip away pretty quick.
We're going to take a break. Here's what I want you to, I'm serious when I ask you this. I'm well aware that Andy Reid is a fabulous head coach, Hall of Fame head coach. During the break, take a look at that schedule, and you tell me what the Chiefs would be if they didn't have Patrick Mahomes and they had a run-of-the-mill, average at best quarterback.
Take a look at the Chiefs schedule.
Because we know what they are. You tell me what you think they would be, and it's to the point of how important having the quarterback is. Again, unless he's Mahomes or Allen, I'm not saying he needs to be paid $60 million a year, but you got to have someone that can really play the position, and I'm curious what you think if you put that together, especially given the fact how many close games they've played and the magic he has. What Aaron Rodgers hasn't been able to do at end of games, he has. And we'll get to the Jets coming up next hour, too. I want you to take a look at that. All right, it's CeeLo and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. In for me coming up next is Pat Boyle on The Fan and CBS Sports Network. Don't go away.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, great to have you with us. Coming live in the Built Ford Tub studio, it is CeeLo and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. I promise we'll get to your calls in a couple of minutes. We have a very prepared Pat Boyle sitting next to us, though a little concerned when he asked how you do certain things. But That doesn't mean this isn't going to be unbelievable. So are you, like, you set, you think?
Yeah, well...
You need another second?
No, we're good. We're good.
In his defense, Jerry, I mean, he's an experienced on-air guy here, obviously.
He is.
But normally, for what he's doing on air, he doesn't have to know how to use the system the way you and I might. How's
that?
Is that fair?
I suppose, except I do hear his updates at 5 a.m. often.
Yeah.
And they're very detailed.
Yeah, but he doesn't need
quite
more.
Quite good, actually.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
But my point is he's playing two, maybe three
Fair.
Sound bites in those updates.
That is true. Yeah. We want it more comprehensive.
Yes, right. So I'll say this much. Much like an NFL team and the Giants, the first drive is scripted. The rest might be a little on the fly here.
Okay.
Not the first. This is all within the first update.
Right.
Every other update now, you've told me I can make different files for the same update. I could add in more sound. I'm not limited to just eight pieces of audio.
On the fly training this morning.
It's good.
Let's just say that, yeah, this first quarter might be a little on the fly. After that, we'll be ready to rock. But either okay. way, we're brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Giants officially now are in line for the number one overall pick in April in their latest loss, another humiliating blowout in the starting NFL debut for Michael Penix and the Falcons. Drew Lock helping unlock the number one pick.
Lock takes the shotgun snap, fires one to his left, and it's intercepted by the Falcons. There goes Jesse Bates to the 10, to the 5, and he's in for his third career pick six.
Bob Papa, the call here on the fan.
That, by the way, is one of the, like, you watch this. This is one of, not this one, the other one. The one you just played, the Bates one. That's one where I would love if they had cameras on the helmets. What is he, what doesn't he see? The guy's right there. And I know he throws it slightly in. Maybe he just missed his spot.
Yeah.
But it almost looks like he went in there and said, you know what, we're playing too good. Let's get this thing going in the other direction.
Jerry, I got to be honest with you. I agree on that specific play. But I also watched five or six quarterbacks yesterday make throws that were intercepted where I thought the same exact thing.
You're probably right.
So it's easy for us to sit here and say, it's their job. They're professionals, of course. I'm not excusing it, but it does happen.
Happens a lot.
Week in and week out where it must look a lot different from the pocketed inside their helmet than it does to us watching football.
Which is why I'd love to see shot. Cooper Rush made a throw last night that should have been picked off 99 times out of 100, and the one time it was dropped was last night.
Right,
so I get it.
You get those too.
Of course
you do. The ball that clearly should have been picked off and was not.
God, man.
I think too. Like, that was a terrible read, but I also think that's where Drew Lock doesn't belong to be a starting quarterback.
Yeah.
I think he thought, maybe I can make this throw. I can get it to Wandale Robinson, even though I see Jake starting to break on my throw, and he had nearly not enough zip on it.
And by the way, not to interrupt you, sorry, Pat, I'm listening to Bob Papa's call there. Boy, I'd love a
microphone during the commercial breaks.
A one-on-one with Bob off the air just to get his thoughts.
Truth
on
serum, though.
where things are at right
because
now.
Because you can hear it in both him and Carl, their frustration in these games. Yeah, that would be an interesting off-mic conversation.
Yes.
I appreciate that they're not homers. I mean, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. That turned the whole game around. Giants got off to a good start in this one. It was 14 plays, 70 yards, and they chewed up 8 minutes off the clock on their second drive, which was capped off by a Tyrone Tracy two-yard touchdown catch. I had them up 7-0, but then at 7-3, that happened, and the game totally unraveled. Falcons went on a long touchdown drive the next time they had the ball, so it was 17-7, and then one play later, this happened.
First and 10 from the Giant 41, Lock back to throw, looking left the whole way, going to get sacked from behind.
Fumble.
And the ball came out.
Fumble.
Falcons say they have it. They got pressure on the blind side, and it's Atlanta ball with 1:26 to go in the half.
Yeah, I just love Carl Banks' fumble.
Yeah, here we go again. Yeah.
So that was, and then two plays into the third quarter, how about another pick six?
Lock in a shotgun set, motions Robinson to his left, looks right, and the pass is deflected, and it's intercepted at the line and run in for a touchdown. It looked like he was going to throw a go route to Neighbors. And Matthew Judon with his first career touchdown.
Yeah, that was the one that on CBS Sportsnet they showed on TV. I don't know which one was worse. I mean, they were both horrible.
I also thought on that one, it was so close to the defensive end, Judon jumping offside. Like, he timed it perfectly. But what happened?
And was he on the side with Neil? Because that was the play
I don't, because well, that was, I don't think
the,
that was.
That was the play where Neil went.
It was. He
was.
Was and
Neil?
Evan Neal literally like nosedived into the turf and blocked nobody and then locked through it and Judon picked it off.
But then he got, when he saw the result of the play, he gets up. And this is not me defending Evan Neal. He very well could have had the play or the pass protection wrong. But he threw his arms up in the air at Drew Lysif. Like, what are you doing? Like, that wasn't supposed to happen. But I don't know.
Sabotage.
And we'll never get the answer because Dable, you know, he's like Fort Knox now. He's not good enough. That's all you're going to get. But I'd love to know.
He actually looks like a beaten man now.
Yeah. Well, how could you not be?
I know.
I'd love to know what the actual intent or play or responsibility was there, because what he did not line up with the type of play that they ran.
Yeah, so Giants were up 7-0, 34 in a row the other way for the Falcons. They're 2-13, and with the Jaguars beating the Raiders, Big Blue will have the number one pick if they lose to the Colts and Eagles to finish off the season. Speaking of Brian Dable, here he is, not trying to dwell on a franchise record 10th straight loss.
Obviously 10 straight losses. Yeah. Franchise record. How do you make sense of that?
Yeah, just worried about this one and wasn't good enough. Mm.
Drew Locke was...
That is a tough spot, too, to be a reporter. Like, that, those questions, it sucks asking those questions.
Yeah. I mean, you got to ask them.
You do, but
and he's
just...
got to answer them, and he's... I think committed to this. It wasn't good enough. Not good enough.
Imagine if he just gets up to the podium and all the reporters, you know, just go, all right, I think we're
right.
Here.
We can fill in the blanks on your quotes. So you can. Let's go ahead and move on.
Drew Locke was brutal. Those two pick sixes. You know, he did have the one touchdown in the beginning. But did Dable think about going back to our guy, Tommy Cutlets?
No, I didn't.
No.
Let Drew battle through it, and see if we can make some improvements. But just at the end of the day, it's hard to win a game.
I also thought
turn the ball over three times.
Shut up. I also thought, and I'm serious. As I'm watching this game, I'm thinking, do they go to DeVito in the third quarter? And it's like, the kid was concussed last week. Yeah. You're not winning this game. No. Why would you? Maybe next week. I would not have put him out there. I wouldn't have. I would have let Drew Locke just take the beating he took yesterday.
It really doesn't matter at this point.
It doesn't. But I know Giant fans want to see Tommy DeVito, yeah. and that's fine. But to me, what's the point? You get the kid injured further?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, both guys have taken hits and been banged up. I mean, Locke was hurt. He was banged up last week.
I know,
right?
The concussions, though, are the ones that concern me more.
Well, it doesn't matter. Whoever you throw back there right now,
Would that be a better veil for tanking if they did put DeVito in the game? Like,
I don't even know at this point.
Leaving Drew Locke in was perfect.
Yeah. But then again, this was the guy that they handpicked and paid $5 million to come in and be the backup and compete with Jones and jump over DeVito. So I don't know.
You guys said Dable looks like a beaten man, and then somebody asked him. It's just taking a toll on you.
Yeah, I'm just focused on our team. our team and try to get them better. And
I'm not even going to play the rest of that.
I'm going to defend Pat here for a second. And you know what this is like sometimes. We're like, well, let's come in, let's fire away with these giant cuts. What is there to say?
Sometimes hearing the way they struggle to say it is fun.
Yeah.
Not fun, but
yes. Or the players will be fed up and you get something in the locker room. Like Malik Nabers obviously has been outspoken, not as much yesterday maybe.
You know who I want to hear from today? Brian Burns.
Okay.
You want Brian Burns?
Yeah, because Brian Burns always has a lot to say. I think he's played relatively well this year. And he is one that I actually don't feel like he holds back too much.
Did Evan Neal speak post-game yesterday?
He did. Well, not that. No, the great John Schweibacher didn't grab any Evan Neal if he did speak. So I'm assuming he did not. But Brian Burns, you want to hear Brian Burns? He said, we can't put everything on Dable.
There's a lot of things that you can't blame Dayball for because he's not out there on the field, playing. That's the, I guess, stoic thing to do, heroic thing to do is take the blame as the head coach because he's the head of this team. But at the end of the day, he can't make a tackle. He can't make a catch.
Yeah, good. Love it.
And not all horrible in the loss. You did have Malik Nabers and Giants, hashtag Giants 100 in the 100th season. He did set the rookie receiving record. He had 7 catches, 68 yards, but he said tough to enjoy it.
It's really how you look at it. I mean, there's some people that's going to say he did all the things that he did, but he's on a losing team. There's going to be people saying that he did what he did. But, I mean, it's a pat on my back, but I'm trying to win. The ultimate goal is to celebrate all that after.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, for his sake, I hope he figures it out at one point as a team.
Leads the NFL in targets.
Yeah.
Wow.
They made a point to get him the ball.
Yeah.
And they have done that.
I mean, a lot of playing from behind, obviously. Volume, Like yesterday,
yes,
a perfect example. Was it?
To highlight another game where you could say where the season took the worst possible turn was that game in Washington that they had won. And if I remember correctly, I think he had 17 or 18 targets in that game, caught 10 or 11 of them, and then had the bad drop.
Yeah.
At the end. And who knows where the season goes if they win that game. Because especially when you look at what Washington has turned out to be.
Different probably not too different than
you don't know at. That you don't know that though. Things change, man.
Wait, so they're 2-13, yeah. Jerry. And if you're saying
you
they
don't
won
know
one
that.
Other game against Washington, they would have
at that time the feel of this team would have been a lot different. Yes, and okay. Confidence is a big thing.
But give me so
I'm not saying they'd be 10-5 like Washington.
What are we?
But
talking?
I don't think that the season spirals out of control. They did win in Seattle. They had an opportunity to beat Cincinnati. There were games here that they could have won, and they blew it. So they blew another game against the Commander. I mean, I don't know. I just think the season could have been a little different. I really do.
I know the Raiders were, 2-2 at one point as well, and they beat the Ravens.
Yeah, I'm well aware.
And I don't think much would have changed.
You don't know that. Yeah, I don't know that it would have.
We don't know.
You don't know that it wouldn't have.
I mean, different quarterbacks, different guys
Daniel
in the
Jones
backfield.
Could still be here. Who the hell knows?
Okay, but what... What is that? I mean, what is he now?
Nothing. I'm not.
Think about how much attention was paid to where he was going to land. And I mean,
he's a practice squad quarterback.
Yeah. Right? Why would you? Because they're having a great season.
I'm glad the Giants lost that game because if they won that game against Washington, maybe they do win another game. They're not in position to have the number one overall pick.
They're in purgatory.
That's a different argument. I'm just saying the season very well might have been a little different. That's all. Anyway, you run out of time. Get to the Jets.
Yes, yeah, so onto the new file here that I've got. And
that you just created as you were sitting here. It was pretty good.
That's a good job out of him.
So the Jets also lost to the Rams. Here was the turning point, though. They're up 6-0. First drive, they go 14 plays, 99 yards. Aaron Rodgers, 499th career touchdown pass to his buddy Devontae Adams. That was his 102nd touchdown catch. Then they pick off Matt Stafford on their second drive. They have a 4th-and-1 from their own 33. They went for it.
4th-and-1, Hall. Oh, it looks like. As Spinks came shooting through, they could be short. And they are.
Yeah, it's okay.
I gotta tell you, watching the Jets, they put together one of the best drives of this NFL season.
Yeah. And that was it.
Their coach is brutal.
he's not a coach, Jerry. He's a defensive coordinator.
I feel bad for the guy.
Yes,
he seems like
do.
A good dude.
Yeah, absolutely.
He knows defenses. When they didn't know if they should take the timeout, I'm appreciative of the fourth down attempts. Everyone.
Jerry.
In a low-scoring game, I know we don't want to kick field goals. I'm good with that.
No, I don't blame him for that.
Sometimes you do got to kick a field goal once.
And he tried and he missed.
I know that.
And he missed an extra point.
Yes, I know. I'm just...
Have they run a kicker out this year?
How many
Fleeks, how many kickers this year? Is this the fourth?
Four, what are they on?
They had Carlson, they had...
No, I think it's just three.
Zerlein.
Oh, no, four, right.
And the guy that went to the Chiefs.
Right. I mean, and the guy that went to the Chiefs was the only one... That actually had a successful week, and then they
Well, Carlson had a good week or two, and now that he's stuck around for a month, he's terrible.
What's that guy's name? Hank Schrader? Is that Breaking Bad?
No.
Spencer Schrader. Hey, go me. Hank Schrader.
So anyway, but they didn't punt yesterday, Jerry.
I'm aware.
And they scored 9.
I'm aware because they had put together really good drives and couldn't get the ball in the end zone. Yeah, they'd come up with fourth down and stink up the joint.
To go back to the highlight that Pat played, and I was going to say it, and Fleeks was in my ear, we're on lockstep. They have this beast of a rookie running back in Braylon Allen, yet on 4th-and-short, let's hand up the middle to Breece Hall.
And by the way, that is not the Breece Hall thing, but that is an NFL league-wide thing that drives me crazy. We're running the ball well with 3 receivers on the field. We got everything spread out. We get the 4th-and-1. Let's bunch everybody up together and try and squeeze through a hole that's not there. If you're going to go for it and run the ball, spread everybody out and run the ball.
Right, stick with what's working.
God.
Fast forward to the fourth quarter. It's 9-9. Rodgers gets strip-sacked, and then, of course, the Rams do this.
1st-and-10, fake to Williams. Here they go. Higbee, 5, leaping, and the pylon touchdown. What a play. Rams have got the lead.
Yeah, so Rams end up winning 19-9. Jets lose. They're now 4-11 after the game. Here is Jeff Ulbrich on some of those decisions. Why did he decision to go for it on the from their own 33 on that one play I played before?
For one, their offense was being very efficient at that point, and our offense was being very efficient as well, and we were maintaining drives. We were moving the ball. We were converting on 3rd and 4th there for a while. So just wanted to stay aggressive.
Yeah. He got nothing to lose, I suppose.
Converting on third and fourth.
Jets also lost in the one game their offensive line was starting to play well. Their rookie left tackle, Olu Fashanu, carted off the field with an injury, ruled out like almost immediately. So here is Rodgers on his young left tackle.
Yeah, disappointing for him. He's such a good kid. He got a bright future. Hopefully he avoided any major injury. I don't know. I just saw him in there. Didn't get a chance to talk to him, but hopefully he'll be all right.
One more from Rodgers here. 2 weeks left in the season. Going to learn a lot about this team and the guys that are on the roster.
We got to figure out what it means to be a professional. You know, I think that's an important part of building culture. And for the last 2 weeks, we can really see who's on board moving forward and who is ready to get out.
I'd love to know more about what he's referring to there. Yeah.
Just one more thing to throw into the mix for you guys. So which guys are going to be on board? Well, we'll see how on board Garrett Wilson is. He barely was targeted yesterday in this game, and I'm kind of at a loss for words when asked why he wasn't a bigger focus.
I don't know. To be honest with you, man, I don't know. I just got to go out and put my best foot forward and hope that things fall my way. You know, I would love to be involved, love to make an impact on the game, but people see it differently than, you know, that's out of my control.
He was targeted 7 times. He
had
6 catches.
Yeah, a lot of that was late, though, 50, on that last drive.
You're right.
All right, we got to go. For next hour, all of the Jet and Giant stuff, but if you can get, I'd love to hear the Jamison Crowder touchdown at the end and also the Justin Jefferson. Those two basically game winners for Washington and for Seattle.
You got it.
Is that good?
Of course. And I'll have, there was also some good sound, some press conference sound from around the league as well.
Excellent.
You bring it all. And
you did around the NFL, on Infinity Sports
every
yesterday?
Every Sunday, 12 to 8 p.m.,
all right, so you
baby.
Heard a lot of it. All right, good. So looking forward to it. That's Pat Boyle. Thanks. We will see you next hour. Good job.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, nice to have you with us. It is 10 in front of 7. We're going to get to the Jets totality coming up in a few minutes, but a lot on the Giants this hour, and Pat Boyle's back out there trying to figure things out because I think he was a little lost, as they say.
Oh, come on.
No. I mean, in terms of how to situate everything, but he did a good job.
That's understandable. Like I said, you know, the way in which...
three Giant highlights, but... Oh, yeah. I'm just having fun
Work in
that.
Progress.
Mason in Plainview, you are our first call of the morning. Mason, good morning. How are you?
Hey, morning, guys. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Holidays coming up. So the level of ineptitude that we've witnessed over there in Jersey, Mara has to clean house. Dabo and Shane have to go. Letting go of Saquon, no one has even talked about that.
No. Now you just lost credibility. No. My God, man. I was having dreams about Saquon Barkley. Are you kidding me? Man. It's all anybody talked about. And while I was a Saquon Barkley fan, I am not of the, I understand the other side saying it was a stupid pick. I don't agree with that because I think when you get great players, you get great players. If you had better quarterback play, he could have been better than he was here. And he was pretty damn good here. They just didn't win. People have talked about that at nauseam. So.
Yeah. That's like saying, no one's talked about Juan Soto this offseason.
Oh, my God. Sonny in Malvern. Good morning, Sonny.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
Good. How you
doing? What's up, Sonny?
Good, thanks. Doing good. Listen, a couple of weeks ago, I think I called you guys, and I said, Mara may keep these guys just for stability purposes. Obviously, I'm talking about Dable and Shane. But, guys, it's been so embarrassing, so bad. It just keeps getting worse that I don't think he has a choice. And not only that, but I don't think they've earned the right to come back, obviously. As far as the quarterback situation is concerned, most experts, and you can't really listen to experts. Quarterbacks, turn out to be great, and the ones you don't are supposed to be great wind up being great. So these two top quarterbacks, they're not supposed to be franchise quarterbacks, but the Giants have no choice but to pick one of them and develop them and hope that he does turn into a franchise quarterback because they have no other choice, guys.
Can I ask you a question, Sonny? Because you obviously seem like a diehard. And this is a serious question. Had they won last week, this week, and let's say they were drafting 9, 10, 11, 8, whatever it would be, instead of 1, would you have been upset that they won the game? Because I'm curious about the Giant fan that, like, Chris McMonagle wants them to lose. He wants the number one pick. And I think if they win one of these games, he's going to flip out. And I understand that side, too. Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, it's really funny, Jerry. Actually, a couple of weeks ago, I'm watching the game. And, in the beginning, I was hoping them, maybe to lose. But as the game goes on, as a true Giant fan, and my dad was a diehard Giant fan, never passed away about a year ago. And he never missed a game in his life. You know, we would sit there on Sundays with his, you know, vodka martini after playing golf, and he was that type of Giant fan. Never, ever missed a game. So I always rooted for the Giants myself. But yesterday, I had to root for them to lose just because it's so late in the season, and there's no reason to root for them to win. But a couple weeks ago, in the beginning of the game, rooting for them to lose, but as the game goes on and you've seen them play well at some point, you know, you're like, yeah, and you want them to do well, but you know, because deep down, you're a Giant fan and a true Giant fan. You're always rooting for your team to win. But yesterday, I'm sorry, I was rooting them for them to lose because it's so late in the season and it really doesn't matter at this point. And you really, really need that franchise quarterback, guys.
Yeah, no, Sonny, good call. I totally get it. That's the double-edged sword that you find yourself. By the way, the Brooklyn Nets are dealing with the same thing right now. You want the 1, 2, or 3 pick to get one of these top three guys, but you got young guys out there that are trying to win games. It's tough to do.
Why has this become such a thing, though, in the last, I don't know, 10 to 15
money?
Years?
I don't know. I don't know. I agree. When we were kids, this wasn't a thing.
It's in basketball. It's less in hockey and baseball because the drafts are different. But for basketball and for the NFL, this is what, if you're not good, you better hope that you're
lose games and get the top few picks.
Like,
you're right.
I don't know. I guess because I feel like in basketball, it makes a little bit more sense because those drafts are usually, for the most part, more predictable, right? And there's not as much.
I think more guys hit in the NBA. Yeah. Not all of them, clearly.
No, not all of them.
But I would agree with you. A higher percentage of top 10 picks in the NBA hit as opposed to, I'd have to look at that, but I would think the NBA does better.
And just before we keep going with the calls, Sonny brought up something that to me as an observer of this situation, as someone who grew up a Giants fan and just looks at this crossroads that they're entering. And he described the part that I'm conflicted about because they're going to, assuming nothing changes in these last couple of weeks, they're going to pick one, maybe two, and they're almost forced into having to take a quarterback.
Agreed.
And I've made this case many times, and it's not to say that they shouldn't do it, but the idea that, okay, good, we've got the number one pick, and we're going to have our choice of Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward guarantees you absolutely nothing.
No, never does.
And to put yourself in a position now where, your hand is forced, some years are great as far as the quarterback prospects, others are not. And to me, when I look at this one, and I know absolutely nothing about it, none of us do, and even the people that do know aren't always correct. It seems like a year where it's not a great year
for
the quarterback.
Even when they are great, you don't know.
Yeah.
You just don't know. Here's Anya in Maryland. Good morning, Anya. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
Good. What's going on?
The first time, long time.
Awesome.
I just want to say, first point, Jerry, you're doing a great job. I love you. And I love hearing Willie Colon, and I love CeeLo.
Look at that. Well,
thank you, Anya.
Tomorrow is going to be your day, Anya. Because I got Willie coming in, and I got CeeLo coming in, and it's going to be a blast.
That's going to be wonderful.
We're going to call it Anya Eve.
I live in Maryland, obviously. My brother is a huge Commanders fan, so yesterday was a big day for Saquon Barkley losing against the Commanders. That was wonderful for us to see.
Yeah, and you know what's crazy about that? And I appreciate the call, Anya. Call us back tomorrow when your guy Willie's here, too,
please,
okay?
Please do.
Either way.
Yeah, all right, great. that's what she said.
Moving on.
What's amazing about that game was Saquon Barkley ran for 100 yards in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, things really turned. That was an interesting situation with the Eagles, which we will get to maybe at 8 o'clock, because that game, to me, on so many levels, with the injury to Hurts, also Pickett, oh, by the way, which I'm not sure a lot of people realize, and what the Commanders are doing is pretty, pretty cool. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I promise we're going to get back to your calls, but we got to take a few minutes on the Jets as well. We're going to go around the league at 1.2, and Bob Wischusen is going to join us at 9 a.m.
I love Bob.
A guy that I started working with here back in 1997, he predated me, the Jet voice on the radio. He is going to join us at 9 o'clock to talk about that mess and kind of what he sees from the inside.